This is very different than the traditional Church of Christ that I was baptized into back in 1970s. We definitely have expanded our musical repertoire. When Jesus says yes, yep, and even if you do say no, Jesus is right. Last Sunday, we were in Florida, and I had an opportunity to share with the South Lake Church of Christ in Claremont, Florida. And on our way back, my daughter Lauren got a text message informing us that Kobe Bryant had died, that he'd been killed in a tragic helicopter accident, and we found out later that there were several other people, eight other people who perished with him. And it was, it brought a cloud, I think, over the hearts of many, over the nation. And it, you know, as I've thought about it and prayed through things, I thought, you know, let me get away from the vision theme today. And even though I think the vision that God has for us is to be a people that know how to handle these kind of challenges, and we're going to talk today, our sermon will be on why do bad things happen to good people. And I'm sure all of you have the answers to that, and I'm just going to remind you of the answers that are already in your heart. Why do bad things happen to good people? Let's pray together and then we'll jump into this. God and Father, thank you for sending Jesus, who is the best thing that's ever happened in our lives. And help us to look to him, to imitate him, to praise him, to walk with him every day. Father, to appreciate what he's done for us and to never take it for granted. Be with our hearts today. Help us to draw closer to you and closer to one another. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, 2007 was a challenging year for my family. On June 15th of 2007, I got a phone call that my brother, who at the time was 35 years old, had been killed suddenly in a car accident. And he was married with three children, and his life was taken suddenly with no warning. 3 weeks later, I got another phone call that my stepfather, who at the time was 67 years old, died after surgery. And then 6 days after that, on our way to the funeral for my stepfather, we got the news that Cynthia's mother had passed away. And so in a month of time, people that we were very close to, we saw that three of them had passed on. And it's in those times that you ask questions like this. How does this happen? What is God trying to teach us? And I think many of us have faced similar tragedies in our lives, whether it's with close family members, sometimes even with disciples that we're close to. And we have a hard time figuring out how to get on the other side of it. I think Satan tries to use a question like this to turn people away from God. And I want to use it today to help us to see how much we need to rely on God and the urgency we need to have about helping people to know God. I think a lot of times the real question that people ask is, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Because a lot of times we point back to God, and because we don't know the answer, oftentimes people blame God for the things that are taking place in life, the bad things. And they want to know if God is sovereign and all good and omnipotent And if he's in control of all things and has the power to change all things, then why do things like this happen? The atheist in his heart thinks a lot of times that the reason I don't believe in God is because there's evil in the world. And if there's a God, how could there be evil in the world? Many cannot resolve the issue of a world with evil and a God who is loving and kind and compassionate and all-powerful. Therefore, people conclude because there's evil in the world, they cannot believe in the God of the Bible. And I think this is definitely Satan's scheme to get us to point the finger at God for everything that goes wrong in our lives and not have the right or full understanding of why, of what evil is and why it exists and what we should do in order to move past it or to overcome it. And so we're going to talk about that some today. And really, I want to do what Jesus did when the Pharisees came to him and asked him some challenging questions. Well, Jesus answered the questions with a question. So why is there bad? Why does bad happen to good people? Or why is there evil in the world? Well, I'm going to answer those questions with a question. And my first question, I think, that we have to answer is, I'm going the wrong way here, I think. Am I going the wrong? Okay. Why are we here? Why are we here? Why are we on this planet? What were we created for and who were we created by? That question alone is challenging to so many people as to who even created us. And I think it takes more faith to believe in the Big Bang Theory or that somehow some cosmos or something out in space created the complexity of man and the universe and all that we see around us. And I think it takes a little less faith to believe that a supreme being who is all superior, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent put all this together. That's just my conclusion. But God created man, and God created woman, and God created them in his image. And I believe one of the reasons that we have so much trouble with evil and bad things in the world is because we think or we don't understand why we're here. And we think this life is supposed to totally be about us and meeting our needs and making us happy. And we don't get the bigger picture of why the Almighty God put us together. You know, even in the Declaration of Independence, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, you never read in the Bible that God created you for the pursuit of happiness. But that's what we think a lot of times. And that's why we get thrown off when anything that is disabling or crippling, whether it's our health or our finances or some unforeseen tragedy or untimely death or some horrific event happens, and we say, that's just not fair. It's not right. Because that's not what I think I'm here for. And even as disciples, sometimes we teach false doctrine, I think with good intentions, because as we study the Bible with people, we tell them, well, if you become a Christian, your whole life is going to be better. Well, you better define better. Because better is not always easier. I believe it'll be better. But I can't promise you that it'll be easier. As a matter of fact, it might get more difficult. But we can't open the Bible and tell people that now that you're a Christian, you're going to avoid all the storms of life and all the pitfalls of life, and there will be no more tragedy in your life, that you will receive 100 times as much in this present age. But you got to remember, Jesus added, and with them persecutions. He never said it was going to be a rose garden. I think we're confused sometimes as to why God put us here. And it's no accident, because God doesn't make mistakes. But I think we've got to go back to the Word of God. And now they're telling me there's no signal, there's no source. So so I'm just going to keep preaching until you can. Okay, all right. See, the devil doesn't want y'all to get this lesson, but I'm going to. In Leviticus 11, verse 44, this is what is read. It says, "I am the Lord, your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves about on the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy." And then, as they have here on the screen, it's there. Leviticus 20:26 says, "You are to be holy, because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from the nations to be my own." And this is Israel who's God is talking to. And he says, "I am holy. Therefore, I am calling you to be holy, to be set apart, to be an example to the world of what it means to live by my statutes, my decrees, my ordinances, and my commands." God called Israel to be holy. We go on and we read in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, Peter says, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who calls you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." God's vision is that his people be a holy people. That they be the light of the world. That they be a model, an example of other people to others as to how to be grateful for God's blessings, but also how to trust God through the trials and challenges and difficulties of life. And so here's what I would say. God has not called us to be happy, but to be holy. Now, I'm not getting a whole lot of amens on that, because we have a hard time with this. God has called us to be holy, to be set apart, to represent him, to show the world the gratitude and thanksgiving for every blessing, for every good thing that has happened in our life, because we know it comes down from heaven. But also to be holy and righteous and trusting and blameless when the tragedies come. You know, I wept during that June and July of 2007. I mean, there were a couple of times I wept uncontrollably because my heart was hurt so much. But I'm thankful I had a God to go to who controls the universe. And no, I didn't understand all of it or the timing of it or why or how or whatever. But here in 2019, that was 2007, and 2019, 12 years later, as Cynthia and I continue to remain faithful and continue to share our faith, my brother and his wife become disciples 12 years later after I lose a brother. So if we don't remain faithful to God and continue to praise God and hold God up, or if we become bitter, then we close the door to the light of Jesus being seen and them becoming disciples. God has a plan through all of this. I don't always understand it. But church, we've got to understand that that what your God wants you to be, yes, if you're blessed and things work out, fine, praise the Lord for it. But He wants you to be His holy people. To be an example. To be different. And so we don't, that's why we don't preach the prosperity gospel. You know, the prosperity gospel basically says that everybody should be affluent and everybody should be wealthy. Hello? It ain't happening. What I hear on TV a lot of times is, give the preacher your money so he can be wealthy and he can be happy. Okay, we can preach that. You give to me, and God will bless you. You know, let me get a private jet. Fly from Mount Vernon to Manhattanville. You know, we've got some great examples in the Bible of people being holy through trials. Job. You know, Job had 10 kids. The Bible said he was blameless, that he was the most famous person in his land. He had everything going for him. And he had all this livestock. And of course, they measured wealth by livestock and not how we measure wealth today. And he was immensely wealthy. And he was a righteous man. And he prayed for his children. And he prayed and made sacrifices, not for their sin, but he prayed and offered sacrifices in case they sin. That's how righteous he was. And then in Job 1 and verse 18, it says, while one of his servants was bringing bad news, it says, while he was still speaking, yes, another messenger came. Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house. And suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I am the only one who's escaped to tell you. That's a bad day in Job's life. He lost all 10 kids at the same time. I mean, how do you make it to the next day? How do you deal with that? Well, this is what Job says. That's what the Bible says, that this Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship. In worship. And said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. How amazing is that? In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. And that's Satan's scheme. He wants you to blame God. To charge God. To question God. To doubt God. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. You know, God, did God really say, come on? He just didn't want you to open your hearts and minds to see reality. You know, sometimes it is better to just not know. Sometimes it's better just to remain in your innocence. And so their eyes were open and wow, our lives are changed. So why are we here? We're here to be holy and to lift up God just like Job did. That's what you're here for. God didn't. It's not about the new job. It's not about the increase. It's not about a better house or a better car. That's not what he created you for. Because if that's what life was all about, then Jesus would have modeled all that. He would have had the best of everything. But he didn't even have a place to lay his head, and nobody had a better life than Jesus. Because he lifted up the Father. Why are we here? To be holy. To honor God. For our lives, through our weakness, through our struggle, through our talents, through our successes, to give praise to him, that people may see God living in us. That's what you're here for. So let me ask you the next question. What is bad? Why do bad things happen to good people? What is bad? Man, we live in an evil world. There are tragedies and sufferings in the world, and I don't think we should ever minimize them. It's a reality. You know, there's evil in the world. There are natural disasters and natural disease. This coronavirus, where does that come from? And throughout history, millions of people have died from disease. When man had no solution and no answer. And I appreciate the prayer this morning, but hundreds have already died from this virus. There's moral evil. There's sin and evil in the human heart. I mean, how many days have you lived with no sin? I mean, we didn't even make it to church, some of us, this morning without sinning. And when you consider the sins in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and in a given week, Lord, have mercy. And we look at the world around us and we see the evil in the hearts of man. Inexplicable sometimes. That's the world we live in. There's supernatural evil. Satan and his demons. And if you don't believe that there's a devil out there, then you are sadly mistaken. That the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. He is on a war path. Him and his demons, and your name is on his board. He knows who you are. And we're in the middle of this, and in the middle of all this, God is calling us to be holy. We need help. We need help. Sometimes bad happens, and you don't realize that what you thought was bad really turned out for good. Look at Joseph. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. No one could see all of what was going on, and there's no justification for the evil that was in them. But look at what happened here. His brothers, after his father died, his brothers come to him and said, you know what, now that dad is gone, I know Joseph is going to turn on us, and he's going to seek revenge for all the evil we've done against him. And this is what Joseph said to them as they came to him. He says, his brothers then came and threw themselves before him. We are your slaves, they said. This is his brothers. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I'm not saying all evil ends up in good, but there are times when bad things that we thought was bad. You know, there was a girl before I met Cynthia that I thought was the one. And praise God, there were some good brothers like Wyndham Shaw and some others who said, no, Sam, I think you should at least go back down to Florida and see if there's any kind of magic that could happen with you and this Cynthia girl before you land with this girl. I won't tell you her name, but they were trying to help me out. And I thought, this is bad. This is not good. But what I thought was bad really turned out, God, thank you, Jesus, that you saved me. That you saved me, and that I ended up with the right person. And some of you, praise God, God didn't let it work out with you and that other significant other, and you with the person you should be with, and you thought it was all bad. And I tell you what, God's been working. And he works in other ways in our lives. The job you did not get, the money that you are not lent, it was best that you didn't get that loan. Because you'd have more debt than you have right now. Praise God, you did not get it. And then when we see the evil and the bad that's going on in the world, what's the purpose of it all? Look, I think it should make us more urgent about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Because the only safe place to be in this life is in Christ. We live in a dangerous world. It's dangerous out there. You don't know what's going to happen next. This car, this truck, this storm, whatever. And sometimes we live like we're going to live forever. And there's evil out there and there's bad out there. And it needs to make disciples of Jesus more urgent about getting people in Christ. Because the only place that's really safe in this life is in a relationship with God. That's the only time you can say, I'm indestructible, is in Jesus. And if you're not in Christ, you're in a very vulnerable place. Tomorrow may not come. But if you're a disciple, you never die. You just transition. I'm already going to live for eternity. I'm just going to get a new body. I'm going to get a body better than the one I got, better than the one that, you know, I got this bad knee right now. The new body, I'm going to have a new knee. The best knee you ever seen. It's going to be a new me. I'm going to have zero body fat. I'm going to have a full head of hair. And I'm going to have 20/20 vision. It's going to be a new body. But you ain't going to get that if you're not in Christ. And that's why as we look around our neighborhoods and we see people on our job and we're on the bus and the train, we need to ask ourselves, who in here is ready for the evil that's going to come? Because death is coming. And you can't stop it. So the question we're answering is, what is bad? And I've got to move on here. We need to be urgent. What does James say? Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go and do this or that. Go to this or that city, spend a year there, then carry on business and make money, which is what the world is all about. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears in a little while and then vanishes. We talked about this at the midweek with the men. Church, why aren't we more urgent about helping our friends know Jesus? Somehow we're lulled into sleep thinking that everybody's just going to live forever. That's not the truth. And if people who have everything can lose their lives, then what about just the average Joe who doesn't have access to all that the world has to offer? Man, I'm in the gym the other day. I'm talking to this friend of mine, and we're going to get together this week because his question to me was, Sam, you know, I really have a hard time with the Kobe Bryant death and how good people, whatever, can be taken out like that. And I said, you know what, Todd, we need to get together. And let's sit down, let's talk about it. He says, fine. So be praying for me. Because the mind without the Spirit cannot discern the things from the Spirit of God. The world doesn't think about this the way that we think about it. And so their whole definition of what is bad, I mean, they get the bad, but here's the thing that I think we really got to answer is, what is good? Why are we here? What is bad? Then what is good? By all definition, Job was a good person. I mean, can this be said about you? Blameless? Hello? Upright? Fears God? Shuns evil every day? God said about Job, this is what God said, there is no one on earth like him. Now, God may say that about you, but for what reasons would he say it? We have said that about you. There's no one else like you, oh God. There is no one else like you. Help us, Lord Jesus. A man who fears God and shuns evil. I mean, but yet we see in Job's life that God at some point had to set him straight. As well as his delusional friends. So, what is good? Here's what we've got to understand. We're not good. We're not. And the best of us, we're not good. You know, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he ran before him and so the good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And what did Jesus say? Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Now, there are people that really believe that they're good. But let me tell you something. The Bible says there's no one righteous, not even one. And we've all sinned, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And when I think about my actions, my thoughts, my words, my motives, where my eyes have gone, what my mouth has said, what's been in my heart and my mind, what we've done in our lives, sometimes rebelling against God, things we've gone on the computer and feasted our eyes on, things we've said about people, things we've done to people, things that we've done in secret that people in this room don't even know about. There's no one who could stand up by a biblical standard and say, I'm good. There's no one good. But God in his mercy still loves us, still saves us. And he wants us to be saved so much that he came down himself in this evil cesspool of a world and lived among us. He just didn't stand afar and went, yeah, I know the world is evil, be holy. No, he stepped in. And he says, be holy like I am holy. And when evil was inflicted upon him, even he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is why we follow him. He shows us how to do it. Because we're not good. The world is full of bad things. And the world was never meant to be our home. Understand me, church. This world. This is a temporary, we're supposed to be here for a minute and then go on to our real home. But when you're thinking this is it and this world and this little house and no, that's not your mansion. Jesus went to prepare a place for you that outshines that little apartment you live in or that nice home you live in. We're not meant to be here. It's not what he created us for. But as long as we're thinking, this is it, we're going to miss it. We're not good. But God in his grace and mercy has loved us and has prepared a home for us. And we got to keep an eternal perspective on life. That's the only way we can help our friends. Why do bad things happen? Look, let me tell you something. You were never meant to be here for ever anyway. So get your life right with God. Here's the bottom line. I'll leave you with this. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because of sin. Because of sin. Because we deliberately transgressed against God. And we're receiving the due penalty for our transgressions. And also, because in this sinful, evil world, God is glorified when people like Job, when we like Jesus, do the good, continue to do the good, even when bad things happen to us and to others. That's how you glorify God. You continue to do good, even in an evil, horrible world, to show people, I believe that there's something greater, and I live for someone greater who's called me to be a light in this dark world. Let's pray together. Our God and Father in heaven, we don't have all the answers, but we know that you do. And we thank you, God, for having redeemed us from the empty way of life. And help us now to always keep our eyes on you and to help this world, which is so lost, to come to know you. Help us to understand that our salvation, which is so precious, is not meant to be kept to ourselves, but to help others who are struggling to find answers to know you. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this fellowship. And God, help us to do our part to help Westchester come to know Christ. Be with us, Lord. Strengthen us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.